middays. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Look at this. It feels like ages since we did this.
Yes, it is ages since we did this, because I've had problems.
Oh, look.
You know.
So when has that been different? What's different now?
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I just had problems that collided with our Friday, so we couldn't talk shit, which nobody missed. I think we got two text messages. Two text messages over the whole 2 weeks that we haven't been doing this properly, saying, hey, what's going on with the new format of the podcast? And thank you for missing us, both Arthur and Elaine. Who were looking for us over the weekend, or the last couple of weeks.
Well, we were contemplating going on and having a bitter rant about the fact that we've been ignored by the award people this year.
Ah,
how dare they?
I don't mind that. At least, you know, as long as Jim doesn't win anything, I don't mind being dragged down to that level. That's kind of how I feel about those things,
and
you know?
And the silver lining, as you pointed out many times, is the fact you don't have to go and sit with all those people at a bad wedding anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to get dressed up and go out and all of that sort of effort. You know, yeah. I'll go out tonight regardless. I just won't look any good. But sure, I never look good in the suit either.
Are you not allowed out? You're a father now.
No, we have a babysitter tonight. We're going out for a few pints.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah, I'm going out for a late one tonight. I'll be in bed at 9:30.
Wow.
Phew. Yeah, I'll tell you something.
Lordy. So there's no special occasion. You're just going to bounce around town.
No, I just want some fucking pints. My head is wrecked now the last while, I have to say. I'm paying me whole with life now the last while.
Great.
You know, like screaming all through the Jesus and night and, you know, could.
You were screaming, or?
Oh, yeah, well, I might as well have been. I should have joined in. You're right, I should have joined
in. Maybe that's what you should do. Maybe you should do that mirroring technique.
Yeah.
When they're giving it, maybe you should do it back.
Imagine that. Just walk in, and then when they're crying, dude, shite in the floor. Now, how do you like it? How do you like it, huh? What are you going to do with it?
That would be entertaining. As if you were sitting around at the dinner table trying to get them to eat, and then you just picked up your own plate and put your dinner on
Put it in me hair. Start rubbing eggs in me hair. What do you think about that? Fucking stupid, isn't it? Yeah. See, when you see it yourself, you start wondering, don't you? You start wondering.
Wow.
Yeah.
Novel parenting. That would
novel
be.
Parenting,
definitely novel
parenting.
There's probably some sort of mad, I don't know, woke something or other where they predict that.
There's definitely some. Oh my God, the shite you do read about parenting. I just wish. I never got into it. Thankfully, I don't care what anyone thinks. But the stuff that she has read and told me about and everything. Oh, and she'd be affected by it, you know. She'd be there going,
as in what, like the proper, what you're supposed to
do. Yeah, the research shows that parenting with a mild, you know, disposition toward, you know, that you should never ever, like, give them food they don't like. And they're going, they don't like fucking anything. What are we going to do then? Just give them chicken nuggets and chocolate every day? Like, we have to break it down somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, you have to break it down somewhere. It's like, you know, never change a baby on their back when you can, oh, shite. Fucking easier. What do you mean? You know, I can't be listening to all this. Give me a break, you know.
It's this kind of thing constantly between the kind of, it's like that, it was good enough for us, wasn't it? The old day stuff.
But here's the thing.
Versus like, you know, cutting edge, ooh, new technology shows.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? And this is a point, right? You know that, it was good enough for us bullshit.
Right.
Right? And I know it's bullshit. But that same bullshit that we've spoken about for 100 years.
Yeah.
Now, you get 6 months out of a thing. And this is the no way of doing it. And the research shows. And 6 months later, the research says something completely
totally
different. Completely and utterly off the wall. Everything you were doing 6 months ago is wrong.
Yeah.
It's incorrect. We found a new societal zeitgeisty gene. And that this has to be the way. And so, honestly... I don't fucking know what I'm doing. It's just the only way to approach it. I'm just going to do whatever. It feels like instinctual. You
exactly.
Know?
I think that's the parental condition.
It's the
I
only
don't
way.
Know what I'm doing.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ride it out and
absolutely.
Hope they don't make, you know, they're going to be made messed up. Of course they are. Oh, they're being raised by humans. They're having a hope.
Yeah, keeping them alive is a success.
Keeping them alive
well
is a success.
Well done on that so far.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Find the best, worst way of doing things. That's my own motto in life, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's a man that sounds like he needs to get out and have a pint.
Yeah. So that's what I'll be doing tonight. You
now,
know, I can't wait. You know.
Yeah, so what happens now if Storm Anna or whatever her name is decides
to
kind
I couldn't
of,
give a shit. Like, I was going to go to Daly Mount Park tonight, but the match was called off because
right.
the St. Pat's are playing, you know, the European games. So I can't go to Dalymount, which is good because it's going to be horrible outside. So.
Yeah.
So now it'll just be regular, casual sort of, you know, thing. You know?
And will you do, have you discovered your, what you call a local now? Because you're still relatively
new
in your area.
Yeah, no, and I do, I like the pub, but it's one of the, I've, unfortunately, I think there's a boundary, right?
Right.
Although I don't know.
What do you mean a boundary?
I think there's a personal space boundary, right? So if you're in the city centre and you go for a pint during the day, nobody talks to you. Right. And when I was living in North Strand, you go for a city, you go for, out there, if you're left alone, right?
Yeah.
More or less, people say hello, a couple of words here and there. It's grand. When I lived in Dunleary, there was this amazing rule in the local pub. If you sat at the bar, you wanted to talk to people. If you sat down at the table, you were left alone.
That was an unspoken rule, or it was, like it was written on the wall?
No, it was an unspoken rule.
Brilliant.
It was an unspoken rule. People fucking had social awareness. They just knew, they just like walk in, you look like you're on your, you're minding his business, look at these other pricks I watch and tell you, talk to pricks and say, they knew!
Yeah.
But now, I don't know what, it's like I moved to the countryside or something, it's like I'm wearing Jim McCabe land. Flutes just can't mind their own business. You know?
So they're lapping up your rockstar celebrity status out there.
It's just, they people go to the pub for a chat, I don't know what they think this is, the 1800s, the famine? The 60s,
yeah.
A time before Wi-Fi.
Imagine going to a place known as a public house to actually interact with the public. I mean, what are these people thinking?
Honestly, they're drunks. you don't do that.
Surely, if you're actively looking for solitude, you put yourself among a group of people.
Exactly.
That's a rule.
Obviously, I wanted to talk to people. I go home and turn on Zoom. Or social media.
It is the battle, isn't it? Because you do get those people who assume that everybody is like them and therefore wants to talk. It's like the way we always say about, you know, the holiday people who cannot wait to meet new people on holiday. Whereas you and I are it's like literally the holiday would have taken a desperately bad turn. If suddenly couples are coming, do we meet for a drink tonight? Will we or will? Do you want to go for dinner? No.
I never want to see you again.
Physically hidden in, you know, like
I've
as in slouched
that.
Down and
I've done that on holidays,
all,
yeah.
To be, to not be seen.
I'm there, oh, Jesus, here they come. Here they come. Oh, no. I'm in my shorts. I can't leave. I have no top on.
Yeah. So likewise, you know, in the pub environment, everybody assumes that if you're there, you want to have a chat, want to find a new friend.
But only if you're beyond the boundary.
Right.
You know, only if you're beyond, like in town it doesn't happen, in the sort of north inner city it doesn't happen, then there's that another boundary, that Dunleary boundary, where there's a sort of a rule where you can or it can't happen, but beyond that... Oh, Jesus, like Jim lives, it's just lonely. People walk into the pub and go, how's it going? I'll get a pint, I'll come down to you. Don't do that. Do not do that. I don't want that now. And they're like, I'll be down to you now in a minute. And then they buy you one and you're like, oh my God, I have to... Oh,
the best one is where they already sit down and say, then, all right if I join you. Now, all right if I join you is not a question.
No.
It's basically telling you, I'm joining you.
Well, you're
now.
Here now. Is it all right if I go home?
Yeah, all right if I leave you.
Yeah, it's all right if I leave. Yeah,
all right if I join you. Yeah, no problem at all. All right if I leave you.
Oh,
I'm
geez.
Off.
Do you remember I told you I went to the local pub? One of the local pubs where I am now. I went in there. I went in, right, and the first fella comes up and he just goes, you ride motorbikes. I do. And he told me all about, I got a whole rundown of every motorbike he ever had, right? I was there. Okay, just bear with it. It'll be over now.
So and this then, was your equivalent to generators.
And then he left, right? And then another fella comes over and he goes, I listened to the show. I was like, grand, you have to be nice to people like that because they're nice people. They, you know, if it wasn't for them, we'd be bollocks. But I think we could do without this fella. And he then started going on about, what was it he was going on about? Oh, yeah, falling down the stairs 20 years ago and then how he found God. And I was like, oh, my God, this isn't going to end. Oh, my God. And my food came and he says, oh, you're eating, I'll leave you. And I had the food finished and all. And then...
And he was still...
And he was still talking.
This was... Despite saying, I'll leave you to have your grub.
And then I came in here the following morning and he was texting the show.
Wow.
Yeah. He was texting the show. Come here, listen, it was great to be... I forgot to tell you and all.
Oh, Jesus.
And Jim's reading out, I think this is a friend of yours. And there, that's no friend of mine. That, I don't know this man. I feel like I'm going to go home and he's going to be lying in my bed.
That was the day you went down to one of the offices and went, come here, how many thousands of listeners do we have again? All right, because there's one of them I want to get rid of.
Can I ask one not to do it anymore? Just one. because all the rest, all the other seem like 200,000.
Right. Just like, would it matter much if we got rid of that one?
Yeah, just your man. I'll ask him. I'll send him a letter.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
It's a stranger because the thing about it is there is an expectation with you, right? I know I slag you always about celebrity stuff. This isn't sort of that. But just when you are well known, when you are somebody who other people recognise, right? There is an expectation that you have to behave a certain way.
Yes.
Like, that scenario.
You do have to behave a certain way. You have to be nice.
Another non-well-known person, right? You know, they wouldn't approach, partly because she wouldn't know what the reaction would be. They could turn around and go, would you ever fuck off? I'm trying to have a bit of dinner here.
What are you bothering me for? I'm an electrician having a sandwich.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So, but you, there's an expectation you have to be
pleasant. Well, you have to be
pleasant.
And you do have to be pleasant. Yeah. You do have to be. That is just, you can't turn around and be rude. No matter how annoying someone is, they aren't trying to be annoying. They're trying to actually be nice, you know.
Yeah.
They are being nice.
Yeah. They just haven't got the personality to carry it off.
And a lot of the time, that's the problem. They are being nice. I just don't want you to be nice, you know. Yeah. I'm not in the humour for nice. I want alone, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had to leave the house to be on me alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mind you, the funniest part is where you have to be nice to people to go, oh, yeah, you're your man, yeah, yeah, naked camera, yeah, or young offenders, whatever, No, I didn't watch
never
it.
Never liked that.
Never liked any of them.
Never watched them. My missus liked it. I didn't know why, though.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was shite myself. But
yeah, yeah.
And you have to go, well,
yeah,
listen,
I know.
Thanks
that's
for
all
that.
Right. That's all right. And they'd be going, no. Yeah, she used to make me watch that bollocks every week. And I'd be like, right, thanks.
Yeah. God, I used to hate that. Yeah. If I ever hear, it's to this day, I can't hear a cunt whistle without
telling. Yeah, yeah. And were you never ashamed doing that? No. You never mortified? No. I'd be mortified if that was like me.
And you've got to turn around and go, I appreciate it. Like, no, thanks.
And that stand-up thing, and like, did you really think it was funny and all when you were doing that? No, I did a bit, yeah. Oh, God, that's mad, yeah. And were people like laughing? Did you actually sell tickets? I did, yeah. Mad stuff, isn't
great.
It? Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd never do that to someone else, like, in their job. No matter what their job is, you'd never do it, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you'd never walk up to an electrician and be like, you know what I mean? You sure you know what you're doing, yeah? Because your hands are shaking like a leaf. You don't look like you know what you're doing.
Any trade.
Or a chef or whatever you go, look at you, jeez. I'd say you make a shite sandwich, do you? Say you couldn't butter bread. Look at the head in you. And him go, yeah, well,
it's
you might not like it.
It's a bit like this business. Luckily enough, thankfully, touch wood at the moment, things are going very well. We found our tribe. There's a lot of people, you know, they say really nice things on the text. But understandably, not everybody can be all things to all people.
Yes,
so occasionally,
there'll be
somebody who doesn't particularly, you know, like our brand of whatever it is, humour or whatever you want to call it, and you'll get a text in.
Yeah. But,
and the weird thing about that is, fine, except would it not be easier to just go somewhere else? Like, actually listen to something that you do like rather than listening to something you don't like, just so you can tell them you don't like it.
That's what gets me. So we always look on the lighter side of life, right?
Yeah.
So we're always trying to pick a story that's sort of light-hearted, makes people laugh, let people know it's okay to get up in the morning, tell the jokes. That's what we're always trying to do. And you'll do a joke someday, and like we'll do a joke about an Argentinian farmer whose sheep turned red or whatever, right? Something stupid. And then we'll get a text message in going, that's what you're talking about, is it? And Russia are over in the Ukraine, and they're going mad. And there's people. What about the homeless? And you go, I'm not going to make jokes about them. I don't think that's funny.
You may not have found your particular tribe.
Yeah,
I don't think that's funny. There's other places you can find that.
You pair the tits tuning in here every day, and now you're on about shite like that. Argentinian farmers. I'm like, but it's just, that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's like coming on, it's like, honestly, as if saying to Jim, you know, you're the worst blind ballet dancer I ever saw. He doesn't do ballet. He doesn't do it.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to, he's never even pretended to do it.
Because the equivalent is, like you say, it's like kind of, you know, you wouldn't walk up to an electrician or a bricklayer and go, like, I hate the way you're building that wall. Yeah, well, it's not a wall for you. You know what I mean? If you don't like it, you hire a different bricklayer or something. You know, it's not even like when they're not even doing the job for you. If you walked up to a bricklayer working somewhere on somebody else's house and went, tell you, that's a shit wall.
Yeah, what? Building a house and not lying, eh? What about all the people who have no houses in the Ukraine? Yeah, fuck.
It's yeah. the maddest thing.
It is the maddest thing. It's the yeah. craziest logic.
It's funny. And this weekend, because we spoke about this on the show earlier on, this weekend, the classic example, we mentioned it earlier, was the idea of all those people who'll get annoyed because they weren't affected by a storm that there was a warning about.
Yeah, even though other people were affected.
Absolutely.
That was much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
Trying to make me blatant shake, cack myself. I didn't even go out for my walk. And yeah. it wasn't even a blow. There was nothing. And you're like,
getting
okay.
annoyed because, you and know, like, well, you weren't affected.
You're just fine. So you were fine. You got away with it. I got away with it. Nothing happened. Okay, what are you annoyed about then?
Yeah.
What are you annoyed about? I just think it's ridiculous telling me that something could happen and then it didn't.
Right. Oh, man.
Well, I might want to slap you in the head now. I won't. Yeah. So maybe you'll be more upset about that not happening as well.
Oh, man. It's the human condition. Anyway, look, if you see PJ over the course of the weekend, depending on when you hear this, whatever you do, don't be speaking to him.
If
you
I'm on my own.
Leave him alone.
If I'm on my own, if I'm not with someone else, if I'm with someone, do come over. But talk to them so I can escape.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
If you're on your way to work and you're thinking to yourself, God, why am I doing this job? This is not what I was meant to do. You know, I had such big hopes and dreams. You know, I was going to be something adventurous and sexy and all sorts of things. Look. There may be an option. There may be a chance for you to pivot career, no matter what your age or experience. Check this out.
Are you a dull, never noticed, go by the wall, blending in no matter what you do?
Yes.
Almost ignored everywhere you go
all
type of individual? Are you the most unremarkable person you know?
Yes.
Because if you are, a dream job awaits because MI5 are now looking for undercover spooks and the only qualification needed is that you're boring.
Brilliant.
They're looking for boring people. People who blend into the background effortlessly. The security service, they've launched this recruitment drive for people who can work as mobile surveillance officers, right? And their roles would include, like, following, suspected terrorist suspects around the UK on foot or in cars. And you don't need any qualifications. You just need to be so dull, nobody would ever notice you.
This is magnificent.
It is, I know.
I mean, we are huge celebrants of the idea of a dull person.
Yes, and I tell you something, it's a six-month selection process. They say it's arduous, but I doubt it will be because they literally won't know who they're talking to. And this is, it's right up there. This is the chance. This is the chance for all those people who've been, like, wondering why nobody cares about their lawnmower enthusiasms. Or for people who've been using metal detectors on the beach and nobody understands why they're not considered interesting. Or people who talk constantly about the need for a good sock. Whatever it is. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
This is your chance to become something bigger, something broader.
This is your moment to become, you know, James Bond-esque.
James Bland. You could be James Bland.
Correct.
Yeah, what a great super sort of hero, I guess you could be in a way.
That's incredible.
My
so
God.
Finally,
we know a lot of people who could be good at this.
Being Mr. Average or Ms. Average or whatever average. And just
below average even.
And just like being wallpaper, the unnoticed,
yeah,
kind of ignored.
Telling you,
shall rise.
Could you be Jane Bland, James Bland? Could you be the person that nobody would notice? Can you be the person to undercover the next international scandal?
The interview process should be good as well, shouldn't it?
Imagine it,
So, like,
literally, so what are your interests? I don't really have any interests.
Okay, very good.
That's a great start. What would you do on the weekend?
What do you feel passionate about?
CDs. I just think the quality of music on a CD. Yeah,
I don't like music or anything on them. I just like the shape and the colour.
Yeah.
Right, okay, this is going very well.
I like to mend my old pants. Well, I'm given the opportunity when I get a spare hour.
What would be your idea of adventure?
Well, they've put a new roundabout in on the N25. And I've heard it's fabulous.
Yeah. It might be a little bit too exciting for me. I do have to think of my blood pressure.
Yeah. I do like going to the new petrol station. They've got such a variety of sandwiches.
The weird thing about this is there's a few names popping into my head. That we know.
Yeah. I can think of a few people. I tell you.
They're nailed on for this.
I don't want to say their names.
No.
Although I think they might be proud of it.
You know? Well, that is true. That is true. I mean, there is somebody we know who tweeted, quite a well-known person. In fact, not a very well-known person. He tweeted them, asking them what their favourite owner manual was.
What their favourite owner's manual would be. Start thinking to yourself, this guy is a shoe-in.
Legend. He's a legend.
This guy's a shoe-in.
That's an all-timer. That's a Hall of Fame all-timer for the Boring Men's Club.
Isn't it, yeah?
What's your favourite owner's manual?
Owner's manual. It's probably a Nilfisk, probably a Hoover. I mean,
He could be the next James Bland.
He'd be great, though. But the thing is, he's actually not bland. No, he's actually quite entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
This has to be some people, they were so boring that... Do you remember the time you had to pretend to answer a phone because your mum was telling you how generators work? Do you remember that fella? You need to be as dull
they were
as that.
They were two different people.
Oh, was it?
They
okay.
were two different people. The, right. the generators person was different to the person that I had to have a pretend phone call.
Oh, you know, okay. I thought, yeah. well...
That was extraordinary how I got... Considering somebody else who was in the company at that time, literally when I came back went, like, that didn't even ring. You didn't even try didn't to even hide ring. It.
Yeah, you just picked it up and went, hell yeah, hello. yeah. Sorry, I'm talking to the next super agent.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Speaking of America, right? Speaking of America, obviously we've had America here. Well, we sort of have.
We have had America
over
here.
Over the weekend there we had...
Barack Obama was here.
That's true. He was getting the freedom of the city.
Controversially, he was here. And then there was...
The NFL is what I was really talking about, right? And that is, like, we obviously had the Vikings and the Steelers here. And it was a huge deal because, you know, it's a huge circus. It's a huge industry, everything about it. And apparently, it's gone down really well stateside. Their experience here, despite the fact... Really sadly that the quarterback guy got mugged.
He got mugged in Dublin, yeah.
Yeah, they don't seem to have leaned into that.
Well, they wanted the full Irish experience. I think they got it. I think that's all part of it, isn't it? Yeah,
but
so
apparently it's gone down really well. They were talking about the fantastic fans. They were talking about... And the stadium and got a lot of love.
The stadium is getting outrageous love and did get outrageous love by all the commentators over in the US because they're not used to seeing a stadium like Croke Park. And why? Because all the stadiums over there have monster car parks surrounding them because Americans have to drive everywhere, you know. Yeah. So they have these huge, huge car parks, like, you know, like the size of golf courses, car parks. So they've never been to a stadium before where there's essentially no car park and they've never seen it.
Well, there isn't really, is there?
No, not really.
There's not even a multi-story, is there? Well, across the road, maybe.
No, where?
Actually, no, there isn't.
I don't think there is. There isn't anything at all. No, there's none. Like, there's places to put your car. There's young fellas coming out and going, park there, and give us a tenner or I'll take a wee in your handle.
A few lockards all right around the place.
There's a bit of that, but there's no official car park at all. And they blew their minds. Like, some of the quotes, like, American sports writer Mike DeFabo, he was on, this is kind of wild. Croke Park is in the neighbourhood. That's what he said.
Oh, really? And he had a touch of the old...
Yeah, that's what he said.
He had a touch of the old suffering secretary.
He says, it's in a neighbourhood. He goes, people can touch the stadium from their backyards. That's what that's his quote, yeah. He couldn't believe people could touch the stadium.
They were more impressed by the lack of a surrounding car park than they were by the facilities and the kind of actual stadium... sort of infrastructure.
They don't seem to have cared about the infrastructure. Yeah, they're mad about its location. Kevin Seifert, he was sharing footage of Jones's Road saying, look at this, it's smack dab in the middle of a Dublin neighbourhood. They keep saying the word neighbourhood. They're mad for that word. They love it, yeah.
Because I'd seen a tweet of somebody saying that, you know, possibly the best press box view I'll ever have.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, from the press box in Croke Park. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's what a thing that is. Like, to say that, like, with the American stadiums and how fabulous and huge and everything they are, to say that about Croke Park.
Yeah.
But now I think maybe what he was doing was, I think he might have been just looking out over the hill.
Looking over the hill and he could see
stuff. Could see stuff in the background.
It's like, oh my God, my goodness. I can see multiple neighbourhoods.
Glory days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
with InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at
InsureMyVan.ie.
MI5 were on the lookout. They were on the recruitment drive for people who could potentially become future spies. You need no background whatsoever in that industry, no particular qualifications or skills, other than the fact that you had to be completely unremarkable.
Yeah.
You had to be bordering on boring, really, I think it was the way it was presented to us.
I mean, it was literally in the headline, MI5 are looking for boring people.
So look, in the spirit of that, we think we may have found a potential...
MI5 hunting ground right here.
Pool of talent.
Definitely.
Right.
A hunting ground for future special agents. I don't think we could... I mean, this is what you're looking for. You're looking for people who could disappear into the ether. People who
People who are easily ignored.
That even when their enthusiasms have passions are displayed, you could nearly go asleep listening to them.
Yeah.
Well, brace yourselves. The Malvern Autumn Vegetable Show has happened. And an absolute record of six vegetable records have been broken at the autumn show.
Right.
Unbelievable.
This has made us into the news.
A 7.8 metre radish and a towering 26 foot runner bean plant. My God, 65,000 people are anticipated to descend onto the Malvern. And this is just Peter Glazenbrook. He's 81. Now, he has the tallest runner bean plant and the longest aubergine that known to man, basically.
Known to man. What an extraordinary expression to use in that context.
Isn't it, yeah? The longest aubergine known to man. And I'll tell you something, some of the record holders are... It's absolutely incredible.
Now, what we're trying to say here is that there's nothing... I mean, fair play, hats off to anybody who's grown the longest runner bean plant known to man.
But yeah.
It's the people... They literally published every detail.
Oh, they did.
Statistical detail in relation to all of these vegetables. So it's the enthusiasts for this that we think might become future MI5 candidates.
Yes,
that's all we're saying.
I mean, a runner bean plants with 26 foot. Additional victors heading to this festival. Joe Atherton with a 7.8 metre long radish. That's competitive for the forest radish that we were talking about, I'll tell you. Graham Barrett, which is 38 foot tall luffa plant. Wow. Who even knew there was such competition in the luffa plant scenarios?
Right.
Chris Marriott, he's wanting to claim the top prize for the heaviest celeriac. He thinks it's about 1.2 stone. Bloody blimey hell almighty. And Peter, won't give a second name.
Oh my God, so he's already getting into the espionage. He's already undercover.
He's already won the longest aubergine. And he says he's going to go for that again. Joe from Mansfield says, I've been growing giant vegetables for very, very long. Probably too long. My wife is the secret to my long veg. She cleans it. I've held 21 world long veg records. I still hold six of them.
So long veg is a category within itself.
Long veg, yeah.
So there's big veg and long
and
veg.
And long
is
veg,
separate,
yeah.
And never the twain shall meet.
Never the twain shall meet. And Joe goes on, this year already, I've won long veg carrot, long veg parsley, long veg beetroot, heavy radish, long veg cucumber.
Is the beetroot meant to be long? I thought it was roundy.
Well, his is long. He's won two classes in the onions and a cantaloupe medal. He's also got a silver in potato. So there's no stopping this fella.
A cantaloupe medal.
A melon.
I was just going to say, you meant to be able to eat it afterwards, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it tastes like cantaloupe.
It's like winning the chocolate award for a three-legged race. This is passionate people,
Jim.
Passionate people.
I'll tell you something. They would ingratiate themselves into any terror ring unsuspected.
I swear to God,
that I have no doubt.
Some people, they'd live their whole lives without getting one onion. This fella's done a double onion record in the one fair.
He had to be careful. He was bordering on interesting there because he was starting to boast, wasn't he?
He was starting to brag
about being a multiple record holder.
Yeah, yeah. He ruined it with the heavy potato at the end. But I have to say, it was just a touch too much. He had me at the parsley, though. I have to say, these people, the passion is unbelievable.
That is,
you know,
I mean, yeah. I don't know how I'd react if somebody
started telling you all about that.
Actually came up to me and
in
asked
the pub
me,
and all.
So do you know much about long veg?
Yeah. What do you know about long veg? Nothing, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say the longest veg you ever had was a 3-inch carrot, you philistine.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
PJ Gallagher, famously one of Ireland's best known, not to mention best loved, pet
God.
Lovers.
You're an awful easy.
What? I'm trying to give you a compliment.
Not really.
I mean, literally, himself and Linda Martin, I'd say, very similar and very in lots of regards.
Great lads, the two of us.
Pair them, you know, great blokes. And to be fair, you know, really well known, and I would obviously advocate for pets in all regards. And you would be somebody who would normally very much encourage people, you know, to have a pet in their lives.
Yeah, but you have to be.
The wonders of, you know, having a dog or whatever your particular pet preference is.
But do not do it unless you know exactly what's involved. Do not do it unless you understand how much time and money and effort it takes. Do not do it as a present for Christmas.
Yeah,
under
exactly.
No circumstances, yeah. Ever. Do not do that.
So what do you do then if you are one of those people who's on the fence, if you're kind of thinking, I would love a dog or whatever, and but I'm not sure. Here's a way to potentially bridge that gap.
Well, they're saying, what do you do? You want a pet, you can't look after a pet. You want the love and attention of a pet gives you, but you can't just sum it up from nowhere. So what do you do? Amazingly, the advice from a psychologist is get an extra appointment with the hairdresser.
I kid you not, this is true.
This is true. This has the exact same effect on your psyche and on your life as it does to have a dog. She says, what's the similarities? Well, the similarities she goes through is only a hairdresser is happy to see you every single time you come in, regardless of how long it's been since you went out.
Wow, that's...
Yes, a hairdresser's costs will pretty much add up to in or around the same as what it costs to groom a dog, keep a dog, look after a dog.
Both very expensive.
Yeah, a hairdresser will is quite happy to spend time with you, listen non-judgmentally to your inane witterings, but
that
whatever they would be on.
Yeah, because you're paying them for it, so they do have to listen to you tell them.
Because you're paying them for
every single detail
every
of your holidays.
Detail. Yeah, all the details. And unjudgmentally, they will they will take it all in and tell you you're great and give you attention and everything that the dog would do. More than a cat would give. Definitely more than a rabbit or nail board.
Yeah, you get nothing out of a goldfish.
You get nothing at all. A hairdresser does, they say. And it's also like there's similarities in that you can share time together. You can, get to stay in the same space together. You get the physical affection. Well, not affection, but you get to touch on the head, I suppose, you know, which there's it's obviously sort of a soothing effect on that.
Yeah, and when you leave the hairdresser, generally speaking, if they've, you know, if they're your regular hairdresser, you go out looking better than when you went in, so you feel better.
You feel better, so you get that dopamine hit of just feeling like something good has happened, which your pet gives you. So don't get a dog, get another hairdressing appointment. That's what you need to do.
Wow.
Your hairdresser is as good
been
a dog.
Missing for many, many, many years in my life has been
hairdressing. That's why you're so cranky all the time. Because you don't have a dog or a hairdresser.
That's it.
That's what you need.
So I need to get,
yeah, although don't go into your hairdresser and when your hairdresser goes like, so what can I do for you today? And go, what can you do for me today? What can you do for me today? Look at you.
Although it'd be more likely them doing it to you.
Yeah.
Who's a pretty? Look at you. Who's a pretty with their big hairy hair?
Look at me, there you. Have you been rolling in the muck again? Have you been rolling in the muck, you dirty thing? Do we have to bring you over to the sink and give you a wash, you dirty little filthy thing? You do what you need to do.
Yeah. So you become the pest more in that scenario, don't you? Yeah. We're going to have you looking lovely, don't you? No, you'd be lovely. Who's a lovely boy?
Who's a lovely girl? Come over and sit in my lap.
Steady on.
Well, you just shouldn't do that. That'd be a weird hairdresser, wouldn't it? Come on over here.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's what they're saying. And
you get treats, don't you? Because hairdressers now, I assume. I mean, obviously, it's very long time since I've been in them. But, you know, I assume you get, they look after you.
The last time you went to a hairdresser, they gave him a treat. Yeah. Would you like a piece of cake? We've no hair to cut, but we'll give you a piece of cake.
Yeah. Do you just want to chat?
Do you want a biscuit and a cup of tea?
So I like it. I like the idea of it.
And
you know, much less commitment.
Yeah, and every hairdresser I know is a very nice person. I have to say that every hairdresser I've ever met, they've been so super social and super they've got great personal skills. I have to say, every one of them.
Right.
They love to party and get out and enjoy life and grab life by the horns. Hairdressers are great. They are great. And you take it for a walk and all, you know, if you want, if they're into it. Great fun, you know.
Yeah. Just, and I mean, in fairness, you don't have to pick up there afterwards.
No,
either,
you don't.
That's always a good benefit.
When there's a group of hairdressers together, they don't seem to walk around sniffing each other's bums or anything. It's much more polite than
isn't it? Yeah. You don't need to bring bags with your aunt when you go to the hairdressers. But
no,
yeah,
no.
Much easier.
Brilliant.
You don't see it hanging on a tree or anything.
And they're much easier to wash, I've heard.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.